Well, it's good to see all of you on this beautiful Sunday morning. I was actually cold when I came to church. Kind of different. You know, during World War II, there was a group of fighter pilots called the Flying Tigers. And if we look at the slide, this team of pilots became legendary. They managed to shoot down 300 Japanese aircraft in a six-month period. And what was their secret? How could they accomplish this feat? The commander said that they worked together. Whenever they fought in teams. And because they fought in teams, they were able to down 300 enemy aircraft in 6 months. You know, the Roman soldiers, if we look to our next slide, Roman soldiers knew the value of teamwork, the value of working together. When they marched into battle, they were barraged with waves and waves of flaming arrows to intimidate them and to hurt them. And their shields are designed to actually lock together. They lock together on the sides and above. It's called the turtle formation. And they look like a little turtle. And it formed a protective box around them and protected them from their enemies. Well, you know, in the same way, God wants all of us to work together. God wants us to work as a team to further His kingdom and especially to further the gospel. And so if you want to take your sermon outline out of your bulletin, let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is our mission in life. Jesus speaking to the disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." See, this is God's plan for this world, that the believers will carry the good news locally to our families and our friends, to our neighbors, to our city, to the rest of the world. This is the plan. There is no plan B. Plan A is that we, as believers, carry the message. See, each of us have a life message that tells what God has done for us. And God wants us to share that life message with the world. Sharing that message is our mission and calling in life. And when we share that message with other people, that's called witnessing. Telling people what God has done in our lives. But when I mention the word witnessing or evangelism, people get nervous. They get scared because no one wants to go. They don't think they know what to say. They're afraid of talking to people. And so what happens is we don't go, we don't share, we don't witness. And see, the problem is that we as Christians, we make it harder than it needs to be when it comes to sharing our faith. God says you don't have to go alone. You don't have to do it by yourself. You need to use the powerful resource that God has given us, and that is we go together to witness. We work in teams. We work in groups to further the gospel. You have brothers and sisters sitting next to you who will probably be willing to work with you if you are willing to work with them. Brothers and sisters who will march together. We put our spiritual shields together. We lock them together. We work with each other to further the gospel and carry God's good news for God's glory. And that's what I want to talk about today, the power in group witness. One thing I think we have not tapped as a church. And so our first point on our outline says, our worship is our witness. Our worship, how we worship God right now in corporate worship together. When I say corporate worship, that's here on Sunday morning. It is a witness to non-believers. You know, especially those in attendance. People come and they come to check out our church and they watch you when you worship. And when they watch you worship, does it look like you are engaged with the message, engaged with the singing, or are you just bored? Are you just kind of checking your watch and wondering when Pastor Terry will run out of words? Are you waiting to see what God has said to me that I am saying to you to touch your heart? Your worship is your witness. We see this in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You see how many times the word together is mentioned. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The new believers, right? Christ had just ascended to heaven. They were worshiping God and they loved God. They, when Christ came into their hearts, they knew what it meant to love God. And they loved God. They loved people, each other. They worshiped together. They prayed together. They learned together. They fellowshiped together. And they witnessed together. They did this together. And their worship was so wonderful, so beautiful, that it spilled out into the streets of Jerusalem. It shined a bright light in the darkness of that city. The people were like, who are these people? Why are they so happy? Why are they sharing their resources with each other? Why are they helping with each other? Who is this Jesus guy? How can I get what they have? How can I be happy in this miserable existence? That is the power of group witness. That is a power that we as a church should use. The people were moved by the people's genuine love for God and genuine love for each other. And because they saw that their love was real, it gave the believers respect and admiration. The people would listen to them because they saw the difference the gospel made. When people see you tomorrow on Monday morning at work or at school, will they see a difference? Will they know that you worship God? That you worship God on Sunday, or maybe you worship God in your quiet time that morning? Or do they see you complaining and being bitter and unhappy that it's Monday? It's Monday. Why do I have to be here on Monday? Why can't I come on Thursday? We need to be consistent and sincere in our corporate worship on Sunday morning to move our hearts closer to God and to other people around us. If you're lazy in your attendance on Sunday morning, it affects your walk and your witness. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, worship God. Take the opportunity. If you see brothers and sisters who do not worship God, encourage them to worship together. The second thing we see about group witness is, number two, our love is our testimony. People saw the love. John 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now he's talking to Christians here. He's talking to his believers, not just us loving non-believers. At first we love God, but then we love each other in our community. God says our greatest witness is the love we have for all, those already in God's family. It proves to the world that we are truly his disciples because we treat each other so well. In our church, no one should be neglected. No one should feel unloved. Everyone needs to know that they are loved. And when we love each other like this, it shines a light of God into this dark world. Love is our greatest witness. Not just loving those that are close to us, our close friends or our family, but those in the entire church. It is our greatest witness. People are impressed when they see Christians genuinely loving each other. They see that our faith is real. They can believe our words. But on the other hand, if all they hear is gossip and ridicule and criticism and fighting in a church, and I've seen it happen in a church, it hurts our witness. They don't think our faith is real because we don't love one another. So let's talk about the power. There is power in unity. You know, our Sunday morning worship is the mouth of the church. On Sunday morning, we praise God with our voices. We proclaim and we preach His Word. And this is where we worship together as a body of believers on Sunday morning. But the heartbeat of the church is really found in smaller groups. You know, in our Bible studies, in our fellowship groups, in our missions group, in our small groups. Our small groups are a place to meet and engage people, to get to know believers and non-believers. We see in Matthew 18:19, again I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. And for where two or three come together in my name, there I am with you. That is the power of group witness, a group prayer, a group fellowship. When we agree as a church, as a group of believers, in a common goal, we can accomplish anything if it's in God's will. God's will is that none should perish and all should live. And that is God's will, and we claim it and we agree with God and we agree with each other and we work to further the gospel, to work to witness to people. God will make it happen. If we're sincere, we will see people saved. I've seen people saved in all the small groups. People come to know Christ because of their group witness. So if we move in agreement with God's will and we agree with each other, we will see a change in people's hearts. Your group can do this. They can work together to share Christ with their friends locally and maybe even around the world on missions trips. And here's the power of unity. First, it takes away your fears. When you work together in a group, it's just not that scary. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." And the first people, you know, this is God's promise. We don't have to be timid. We have power in the Spirit. The Spirit of power to do and to love. And when we love, we have power. It gives us ability to have self-discipline. But usually when I talk to people about sharing the faith, the number one thing they say is, "I'm too scared. I'm too afraid to talk to someone." I understand that. I get scared too. You know, the answer to being afraid is community. Having a team work with you. Standing alongside other Christians who will work with you, love people, and serve them. You know, if I were to ask one of you to, well, get up here this, you know, next Sunday, Larry wants you to sing a solo. You know, how many of you would jump up for joy, up and down for joy? You know, most of us would say, "No, not me." We'd be afraid. You know, we'd be afraid. I remember many years ago, we went to Tucson Chinese to do a youth evangelism thing. And Sunday, I wasn't speaking. I got to be the worship leader. And I thought, well, we need special music. No one's going to do special music. So I will sing a solo. And it's, you know, it's like, how does God move? And I said, "God, I am willing because that's how I am. I don't care what it sounds like." And I told the guy that, "Well, you know, we get to this point, I'm going to get up and sing a solo." And he never called on me. We just went straight to the sermon. I thought, well, that must be God saying that, "No, you're not going to sing a solo." But see, I was willing to do it. But most people are not willing to sing a solo. But if Larry says, "Hey, I'm going to have a little choir and I want you to sing with 10 other people," well, we might do it because there's power in a group. We're willing to be a part of it. As you know, I spent a summer on a horrible mission trip in Hawaii. I was a summer missionary and, you know, it's horrible. You know, that beach sand gets everywhere. But I ended up working by myself half the time I don't want to criticize my partner, but I ended up passing out flyers and going door to door and inviting people to church, and that's just how God wired me. If he says, "Go do it, Terry will go do it." If it's by myself, that's okay. But I remember I was chased by dogs. I was almost eaten alive by a German shepherd. And I'm like, man, that was kind of intimidating. That's not for everybody. But on the other hand, when I see pictures like this, and I see the group of you that go up to McNary, you guys are doing things that you would not normally do by yourself, right? You went in a group. You're able to do things that you don't normally do. You know, you knock on doors and talk to people about Jesus. You invite them to church. You share the gospel in one-on-one situation and teaching. You teach God's words. You do things you don't normally do because you're doing it together. Why not do that in Phoenix? Why don't we work together here to further the gospel? I mean, they work from like 6 a.m. to midnight. You know, they work hard because there's power in a group. The group calms your fears. The groups enable your witness to be productive and fruitful. If you want to jumpstart your dying, plain spiritual life, you want to be effective for God, join a group. You can make a difference in your life and another person's life by joining a group. A small group, we have great small groups, run at least a Bible study group, a missions group, or an outreach group. It just takes away your fear working together. The second thing we see about the power of unity, it makes you stronger. It makes you stronger. There is strength in numbers. Working with a team enables you to accomplish more. You lift more, you move more, you love more, you serve more, and you do more. You get more done in a group. And that's because you're like-minded, you have a common goal. Ecclesiastes 4:9. "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Teamwork, working together, makes us stronger. Teamwork multiplies effectiveness. Again, you know, the McNary, I watched them on Friday morning baptizing people because of the work they had done that week. They were effective working together. God wants to use people in this church to do things they've never dreamed about. You know, a lot of people think that, well, yeah, it'd be nice if I was a witness, if I was gifted that way, but to actually see someone come to know Christ because you had a part in it, that's life-changing. We're not enough on our own. We don't have all the skills. We don't have all the gifts. God wants us to be a part of a team to fulfill the Great Commission. See, you can accomplish more in a team that works together, prays together, worships together, and witnesses together. Many years ago, I took an evangelism class, and they teach you that, well, you know, you go and you visit someone or you have a conversation. Back then, all evangel was knocking on doors and convincing them to let you in. They don't let you in that much anymore, but back then they did, because all I had to do, we visit a Chinese family, and they look at you and like, and I say, I am the son of Faye and Mary Wong. We own Mayfair Market. Okay, come on in. You know, that's enough. You know, now they kind of look through the blinds and don't like you. So we have to change our tactics. But so we learn how to start conversation. Like if we go out to eat someone, what do you say? You know, people say, I don't know what to say. And so we have this acrostic. Look at this slide. You remember form. I live my life by acrostics, okay? I passed a CPA exam with acrostics. So what do you say? Well, you form. You start with F. You talk about your family. Oh, do you have a family? Do you live in town? You know, oh, what? Oh, do you work here? Where do you work at? You know, and then R, do you go to church? Do you have a faith? And then you hopefully get to the message. You share about Christ. But sometimes I'd get to the end of that and I'd run out of things to say. And then you look at each other. But if you're with a team, you don't have to carry the conversation. If you're with two more people at a dinner and lunch and you just keep talking and you keep talking, there is strength in numbers. As you exercise your faith in a group, you grow stronger. As you grow stronger, your faith runs richer and deeper. You find strength and courage in a group. Does that make sense? Doesn't that make sense to you? It makes sense to me when I wrote the sermon, when God spoke it to me. It just reminds me as I look back over time, how many people I've worked with, like Larry and all the others. We're talking way back, Larry, right? Way back. We went to the same high school together. We got married in the same month, but we didn't marry each other. He married his wife and I married mine. We got married in the same month. We shared a life together because we're teamwork, right? It's always teamwork. But let's go to number four. You must be intentional. See, we have good intentions. Well, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to talk to people about Jesus. We have great intentions, but you must be intentional. Philemon numbers, verse 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. You know, this is my prayer for you for this coming year, that you may be active in sharing your faith. And by sharing our faith, we understand what the gospel means. You know, when you share your faith, you come full circle. Someone shared your faith with you. You became a Christian. Now you rise up and share your faith with someone else, and you have come full circle. When you do, when you share your faith, whether they believe or not, you gain a full understanding of who you are and what you're doing. I shared with a man the other day, Lactor Service, last week or 2 weeks ago, and I tried to help him understand what it meant to be a Christian, and it just makes you understand that why you're a Christian, why you're there, to see someone, another person, inherit eternal life, to put their faith in him. He didn't accept Christ, he's still trying to understand, so I'm trying to ask him to come and let's study the Bible together and spend a little time together to gain understanding. But when you share your faith, whether they believe or not, when you are faithful, your faith becomes real. When I see a person or my small group helps a person understand what love is and who Christ is, and they trust in Jesus, they get baptized, man, I am blessed. One more person given eternal life. What could be better than that? There's nothing richer than seeing another life inherit eternal life. You might have good intentions, but nothing gets done unless you're intentional. Intentional means that you pray for people who don't know Jesus. Intentional means that your small group makes a list of people who are not Christians that you know or they know, and you're praying for them together. And that's one thing I want my group to do this week, coming year, as we start our new year, a small group to pray and make a list of people we want to be saved. We don't do that right now. So I encourage all of our small groups, let's pray for those people. When we pray for something, it becomes your priority. It becomes your focus. It's on your heart. And so when I see someone that I'm praying for, man, I'm just going to love them a little more. I'm going to serve them a little more. I'm going to spend a little more time with them. It becomes your priority. See, people can reject your arguments. People may refuse to listen to your logic, but they are powerless against your prayers. Because we're going to keep praying. They can't stop us. Our prayers go straight to their hearts. It goes to our hearts. It connects us together. And so we need to pray together as a group for people and put them on a list and lift them up to God. Intentional means we pray for people. Intentional also means that we form a plan on how to build a relationship with people. You know, we need to have a plan. We can just have good intentions, but we take no steps, set no goals, we won't accomplish anything. And so for 2019, I encourage all groups to have a plan about being intentional, about engaging people in conversation. Rick Warren says the best way to witness is to think about what you like doing and go do it with other people who are not Christians or are in church. You think about what you like doing, shopping or skiing or whatever, and you go do it with people that have a like interest. And so that means that small groups need to engage non-believers with the gospel by appealing to common interests. You can invite your family and friends to activities that they enjoy doing. Might be watching football, going to the movies, a book group, or it might be gardening. It might be recreational activities that people enjoy. These relationships provide opportunities to get to know people, to love them, to listen to them, to pray for them, to plant seeds of the gospel, and then to water them, to help them trust in Jesus. And so that's the goal of this recreational ministry you heard about. Go to our next slide. Recreational ministry, have fun while serving God. Have fun while serving God. And so after church today, we're going to meet and talk about what we can do to further build relationships with people through these recreational things. I had to put fishing in there. What could I say? You know, we had to do fishing. I like doing it. And people will go fishing with me and sit in a boat with me, and I preach in the back of the boat at them for, you know, 8 hours, and they'll do it. I don't do that. But see, we need some ideas. We need some ideas of how to conceive this and how do we invite people? How do we advertise? Who's going to come? So if we do this, and everybody that comes is our church members, well, we've accomplished nothing. But man, can you imagine if half the people that participate are some of you who want to work on this team and the other half are people from the community? Now that's something. I think miracles can happen if we do that. But we need ideas, Holy Spirit, inspiration, and we need you to be a part of it. This is just one idea. This is one idea Mark and Christine and I are pursuing. Maybe you have some other ideas, something totally different. I heard a college student once say this phrase. Look at this next phrase. Get to know people so they can get to know God. And when I heard that, I thought that was really profound. There's a lot of truth in that statement. People will not get to know God unless they get to know you first. So if you don't know any non-believers, how can they get to know God? I mean, for a time, I work here at church, and everybody here at church is a believer. So all my coworkers are believers. I went to seminary. All my seminary students are believers. So I talk to most of my neighbors immediately around me. I need to engage more non-believers. So that's one of the concepts of the recreational ministry. Maybe your small group will work with another small group to host a dinner party or go on a service project. I've learned that a lot of non-believers like to go on mission trip and service projects even though they don't know why they're doing it. And before, I used to say, no, if you're not a Christian, you can't go on a mission trip, you can't do a service project. But then I realized that they love doing it, so why not let them? Right? Just let them go, and they see you witnessing, they see you serving, it will be a witness to them. Maybe your small group wants to go on a mission trip together, a short-term mission trip. You know, do a service project. Adopt a community. Adopt a group of people like foster children and their parents and serve them and minister them. You know, the ideas are endless. You just have to be intentional. So my question for you is this, but look at our next slide. Who are you working alongside to witness to the world? Who are you working with? Maybe you need to join a small group. Maybe you need to start your own group or join the women's group or the men's group. Join us in the recreational ministry after church day in the fellowship hall. Let's talk about it and start talking and be intentional. Seriously consider this. Is anybody going to heaven because of you? Is anybody thinking about heaven because of you? John Wan shared how someone invited him to church, and that began his spiritual journey. You know, imagine seeing that person in heaven. Thank you for inviting me to church, you know, so I could hear the gospel. Is anyone going to be in heaven because you love them, serve them, engage them in conversation, invited them to church, share the gospel, prayed for them? You know, if we work together and we're intentional, fruit will happen. You may not see it, but it will happen. I met up with a guy that I kind of barely knew, and he was a strong believer, and I was good to catch up in fellowship. And he looks at me and he goes, "You're the first one that told me about Jesus." I'm like, I don't remember. It was so long ago. But I was just the first of many. And he became a Christian. So we don't know where that fruit, when it will take root, but if we're faithful, it will bear fruit. See, the truth is we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead to give us eternal life. And when we commit our lives to follow Him, we will follow Him all the way to heaven. But we want to take everyone with us. So we call on you today, put your faith in Christ, make a commitment, follow Him to heaven. Let's work together, brothers and sisters. Let's further the gospel. If you're ready to be intentional, you need to tell God, "God, I'm ready. I understand now. I don't have to do it alone. I want to work with other people. Let's come up with some ideas and plans for this coming year, how we can witness together in the power of a group." Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You called us. And You didn't call us, You called us individually to believe, but You call us together to worship. When You spoke to us to tell us that You want us to be Your witnesses, You talked to 120 people that You wanted them to be Your witness. Father, I just pray that my brothers and sisters here today, that we realize we don't have to do it alone, but we can work together. We just need to be intentional. We just need to say, "Father, I want to be used by You. I'm going to work with a group. I'm going to talk to Pastor Terry and other people in my groups or my small groups about what can we do to touch a life in Jesus' name." And not just far away, but locally, people we connect with daily in a tangible and meaningful way. Father, I pray that You work in each of our hearts, that we make this commitment. Father, there's someone here who has not made a decision to believe in You, to follow You. I pray that they settle that today and say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I will follow You all the way to heaven." Father, we just thank You for giving us this time of worship. We open our hearts to You. Pour Your Spirit into us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our invitation song. And if you're ready to make a decision or commitment, come forward.